Hey, what's happening, everybody? This is Dennis Terrell of Terrell Knife Works, and you and I are listening to the Work For It podcast, where the emphasis is on business in the workshop. You can support these guys for as little as $1 a month or $12 a year, and show your support by going to patreon.com/workforit to find out more. $12 a year, that won't even buy 2 gallons of gasoline here in California. You might as well support these guys like I do, so they can help us all work for it.
You listen to the Work For It podcast. It's Brian House back after a bout of the stomach flu that took me out for nearly a week. I mean, here, that's it, man. I shit my pants a couple of times. It was brutal. The older you get, the more annoyed you get when you get sick, because you're like, one of these motherfuckers that was in my house gave this to me, and I'm just all annoyed and running around and feeling like crap. But here's the thing. Gave me some time. Gave me some time to sit still for a little bit and think about some things. And I realized we got to get back to our roots. We got to go backwards. Get in the time machine. Get into that phone booth. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. And go back and look back, which I'm not a big fan of usually. But during this whole hallucinogenic shitting my pants episode, I realized that there's a lot of gold stuck in those mountains way back from, say, 5 years ago even. Where we started and where we're going, the only way to get there is to work for it.
Hell, so that's
what we're going to do today. Let's talk about it. Let's get it going. Let's get a feeling. Let's get the juices simmering.
Oh, I feel like you've had
dripping
enough.
Dripping down your chin.
I was going to say, I feel like you've had enough juices.
No, it wasn't. It was coming out the other end, not the top end.
Yeesh.
Anyways, yeah, no, I'm okay now. Thank you for everyone who reached out, because it's weird when I miss a podcast, because I normally can power through anything. Like, I can power through anything. And when I woke up on Wednesday morning last week, I was so sick. I was so ill. It was like, what was even stranger about it was that I wasn't able to formulate a sentence. Like, I would try to say something like, hey, I need a glass of water. And I'd be like, I need to get the clear liquid. I need clear liquid. Like, I couldn't find words. Like,
crystal even, so. Pepsi?
That's it. I need a Crystal Pepsi from the 1990s.
That's old. Yeah. Say, that is old.
And slowly my mind has come back, but it scared me a little bit. You know, made me feel like, oh shit, this must be like what people feel like when they're getting dementia, or like getting old, you know, getting, you know, whatever neurological problem they're going to have in their 80s or whatever. It's like, this is what it must feel like. It's so strange.
I mean,
it was a strange feeling.
I had a long conversation with my father about that, because that's kind of what he's going through, you know.
Oh, right.
Normally being a very sharp, witty, fast thinking, fast, you know, he's normally an incredibly intelligent person, but he still has the thoughts going at the regular speed, but he just couldn't form words.
Right.
And I'm sure you're kind of going through the same thing.
A little bit like that. Yeah. I mean, how is your dad doing? Is he all right?
Oh yeah, way, way better. Getting better? I mean, he's still, you don't go through what he goes through and be bounced back to 100% already. So, I mean, there is still a long road of recovery, but he's well on his way. So everything's good with him. Thanks for
asking.
That
is good. That is good news. That is really good news. I was really concerned that, like, at some point you were going to call me and with really bad news. And I'm like, oh my God, man, like, you don't, it's too early.
Honestly, it's been especially that week there for a while. Every single time my phone went off, I was expecting the worst.
And that's like, that fills you with all kinds of anxiety, and it pulls your mind away from all the other things you have to go do, you know, with your day, you know. So that must just be really distracting and hard.
I talked about it on the pod a couple weeks ago, but that entire week, I didn't do a damn thing in the shop productive.
That's right.
There's
That's
a couple right. of things I did in the shop, but I just didn't do anything that worked out. I ground a couple knives and just like overshot lines, you know, just royal mess things up to the point where I just said, screw it, let's just throw this away. And I haven't done that in a long time.
you and I, when we talked on the phone, I remember saying something to you about just, hey, remember that you're going through this too. You know, even though your dad is the one having all the health problems, yeah, like you need to take care of yourself. It's really important. And I don't think enough of us men do that. We kind of just power through the shitting our pants type deal, you know, and we don't take care of ourselves. And I saw a really fantastic Instagram post, and I think it was Chris Rock was talking about, unless you're a man, you don't fully understand that love is not unconditional for men. And it was a really interesting point. What he said was love is conditional with men, and because we have to provide. We will not be loved unless we are providing something, like, you know, money or utility of some sort. And I thought a lot about that because, you know, in today's modern society, of course, everyone has a role to play. You know, we all have a role. Doesn't matter what gender you are, whatever. It's just that there's expectations placed upon us, right? We have so many people expecting us to do things. And then when that expectation isn't met, then there's consequence. And it could be judgment. It could be loss of income, you know, whatever it might be. But by far, I, you know, looking into myself, I am the one that expects the most out of myself, right? Mm. I'm the one pushing myself to do this like crazy shit and like produce a certain amount of sales and a certain amount of product every year and, you know, lead the company in a direction or lead my family in a direction or do all this stuff. I'm putting those expectations on myself. And if I don't fulfill those expectations, most people don't know, you know, they just don't. They're looking at themselves more than they're looking at other people. And I have to keep reminding myself that. But what I think in Pickle, I know both of you guys, I know you're the cut from that same jib where you feel internally, you feel this pressure to continue to produce, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
And I think you understand that it's not always healthy. Right. Yeah. It's not always the best path to do, but there is a balance and you have to find that balance. Now, I can see it in Pickle when he's putting all this pressure on himself to produce something. And I'm like, you know, you're the one doing this to yourself. You know, you don't have to do it this way. Mm-hmm. And you hear my words and you go, yep, you're right. You're right. You're right. But you continue down the same path. I'm the same way. I hear people tell me this, Brian, you are doing way too much. You are pushing yourself way too hard and we're not sure why you're doing it. And when I was sick, I started to, when you get ill and you get ill, like real bad, like I was, you know, it messed with my mental health. Like I started feeling depressed because I like no energy, you know, like my body was just in a massive, chaotic state. And I started to think to myself that not just my body was broken, but my mind was broken. Like I felt this intense need to review my approach to everything, if that makes sense. So, well, meanwhile, I'm sitting there by myself most of this time, you know, going through this illness, and I'm thinking, like, what does it all mean? Like, what are we doing this for?
I realized
it's got to be something that happened to me in my childhood that's pushing me forward. I've talked about scarcity before. You guys know this. Mm-hmm. Like I have a scarcity complex. It's an issue. I don't know how to solve it. So I just take action and go. And that seems to work for me. But I'm curious, like when you guys look at your lives as a whole, like, and you see things, like you just step back for a minute, you know, I know there's good and light and all of that. And then there's dark too. But are you feeling, and this is a fucking loaded question, but like, do you feel like you're on the right path? And do you think like at some point you'd want to shift your direction to adjust for like more optimal happiness or sense of purpose?
I'm going to let you fall on that grenade, Pickle.
I Listen, I definitely feel like I am on the right path because I've been literally on this path for 4 years now. It made 4 years this month. So, like, I literally jumped into this with no knowledge of making knives or heat treating or anything. Like, what I felt then was way more scarier than what I am dealing with now. Like, the uncertainties, when they come, I just laugh at them. I laugh them off now. It's like, well, why am I even thinking this? Everything's going to be okay. So, like, to get through all of this and feel okay with it, yeah, I'm not even worried or pressured anymore. When I first started, yeah, but now I'm totally okay with it.
Let me ask you, okay, so when you're when you're referencing your old life, you're talking about like when you were working construction and doing these other jobs, right?
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that up until like say 4 years ago when you made the decision to go full time and start knife making and generate your own income from sales and all of this, what you're saying is now you feel like you are way more control than you had been in the past, right?
Yes.
Like before in your professional life.
Yes, absolutely. Oh yeah. I'm in control. I'm in a better place. Stability is there. Like like I said, there's times where I just worry sometimes and I catch myself and it's like, nope, we're good. Mm-hmm. It's going to fix itself. And it does.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no, like, I'm with you there. Yeah.
It's a lot easier to deal with than having to deal with a fixed weekly paycheck and worrying about how to pay things, even though you know you got a fixed weekly income.
That was my one concern when I worked for somebody else, is that I had to make one person happy.
Yeah.
And if I didn't make that one person happy, they were in control of my entire financial existence.
And it's not just that one person either, Brian. It's any given situation, because that's what made me realize that I can't work for anybody anymore, because I am not going to depend on anyone for my livelihood. I am not going to depend on anyone for a weekly paycheck, because that guy could turn around next week and be like, hey, you're out, or a pandemic could happen and you get laid off. You know what I'm saying? So that when that happened, I was like, oh, great. Now I'm relying on the government with their CERB payments that they're going to be giving us for a year and a half because we lost our jobs to COVID. Mm. And then I'm going to have to, you know, rely on this and that. And then I was like, no. This is done. I'm a grown man. Put your big boy pants on, tie up your fucking boots, handle up and giddy up, dude. Just fucking do it.
This is why I say we need to go back to our roots. And, you know, I was reviewing, I get like every once in a while on YouTube, I get these, there's these predatory copyright companies that come after your videos because they claim that they own the music that you've used in your videos.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to monetize your video and make the money off of your video. And not like it's a ton of money, but fuck them. You know, you're not getting my money because I licensed that music. See, these guys, though, don't know that I've licensed it. So they do a copyright strike against my video in hopes that I'll just ignore and allow them to collect my monetization money. So fuck you. You're not getting it. So I paid for it. So whatever. So I have to go through this process. Anyway, they will target an entire channel, which they did. They targeted my channel like a couple months ago. And I had to go through all these old videos, right? And I had to write a dispute to YouTube and all this shit. And it always gets resolved in my favor.
Right.
So anyway, I was going through all these old videos and I started watching my old content from like 4 years ago, 5 years ago when I started this journey. Right. And I started to realize how far I have come in a good way. Right. Like, wow, I've made all these improvements and I have a bigger shop now and I have a warehouse and I have all this stuff. And it's all a result of those initial videos that I created on YouTube. And then I realized I'm too far away from that. I've gotten so fucking far away from that. Like, I need to go back and share my daily, not daily, but you know what I mean? I need to share my small minor wins. And I think that is the reason why people started following my journey, was because I was so excited about the little discoveries I was making during that period of time. Like, wow, look at this. I've got this. I figured this part of it out. And I was talking with Dexter, and I are working on my motorcycle again, and we put the motor in last night, and I'm on my side, and we're mounting this, you know, we had to manhandle this motor into the frame and everything. And when Dexter and I took that engine apart and rebuilt that engine, that video, Dexter is like 12 or 13 years old, and now he's almost 18. And so it's like, man, I'm fucking like watching my son, you know, grow up in these videos.
A man.
Yeah, fuck, man. And I realized like he was a boy when he was doing that work initially, and then like at 18 he's like he's there, you know, he's fucking a man, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, fuck, I don't know why I'm crying. It's fucking stupid.
It's because proud.
That's a super emotional thing to see. Exactly. To see someone like that grow up in such a huge way. I mean, that's, you know, it's not a weakness to cry about it. I mean, it's not tears of, you know, bad. It's tears of joy. You know,
definitely it, is. It's a good feeling.
And that right there is an experience you have and I can't have, and Cone at the moment can't, but maybe one day will. But I have no intentions on having kids, so to feel what you're feeling right now is probably gonna never happen to me, you know what I'm saying? So
I hear
like,
you,
and don't be like all mushy and be like, oh, this is so fucking stupid. No, it's something to be proud of. Your son's grown up to be a man, and that's it, you know.
He's
our fathers maybe didn't cry seeing us grow up, but it's okay if we're gonna cry about it, you know. Like, our fathers were a different breed.
And as much as like I feel that like pride of him, you know, becoming a young man or whatever, it's a fantastic feeling. It is, but I think the takeaway from it is how much both of us have grown in the in the last five years, right? And so
you guys are growing together.
We're growing together, you know, as father and son. So like, you know, we're sitting here like wrenching on this old motorcycle, and motorcycle doesn't matter, but it's the minutes that we get together, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, you know, there's a bolt here missing, and you know, we got to mount this engine in here, and he's kind of manhandling it in there, and I go, you know, hey, hand me that. I'm looking at the threads, and I'm looking at the threads and the way that they're machined down into the head of this engine. And I'm like, that's a 3/8-16 thread. We got to just find the bolt, you know, because we're digging through freaking buckets of bolts, right? And I said, man, like freaking 3 years ago, I would not know what a 3/8-16 thread looks like. Like, right. I could not identify it. It was something that was so far out of my wheelhouse. I just would never know it. And he looked at me and he was like, yeah, it's so weird, right? Like, we can look at stuff and just do it and fix it and like, find it and, you know, assemble it. And in his eyes, I saw hope. I saw a lot of hope. And I was like, oh man, this is the moment, you know, we got this together. We're doing this together. And I never really had that with my father. You know, my dad and I, we got along and we we spent time together. But we never really followed the same pathway. Like, we just didn't. It was just, you know, he was on a completely different trajectory than I will ever be on. But with me and Dexter, it's like I'm working with like a younger version of myself. Like, the kid is so much like me. It's ridiculous. And I realized at that moment, like, there is nothing better than looking back, seeing like, okay, I need to make some corrections. Don't have a ton of regrets. I have no, like, literally none. And I want to go back to that for a little bit and then bring that along with all of the new knowledge that I have now, right? I want to look at a bolt and go, that's a 3/8-16 bolt, and it's this, and we can do this and change. Like, think about the growth that can happen exponentially moving forward in your maker career and see yourself now and just know that the habits that you have put in place for all of these years, coupled with the knowledge you have, can literally skyrocket you into massive success in whatever regard it is. It doesn't have to be making. It can be anything you want. And I think that was the massive takeaway for me when I got sick and I started realizing, like, man, moving forward, we are armed with this stuff that no one can take away. You can take away all the money, the workshop, you can take away all my tools, but you can't take away that knowledge and those skill sets. And I think the growth portion of it is just like my favorite part of all this. And then also getting to visually watch my son grow up, become a man, and, you know, kind of follow along the same pathway. But also I love the fact that he has been given, you know, through me, this opportunity to kind of start like where I left off, if that makes sense. Like he has at his disposal pretty much any tool he could ever actually want, and then also a knowledge database through me where he can ask me any question. And, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do that as a computer guy. You know, like that was not who I was as a computer guy. It was that I was, you know, running a shop. I was a knowledgeable leader. I had a lot of skill sets in the technology world, but literally he had no interest in that. He wants to do metalworking and, you know, motors and engines and cars and all of that. That's his passion. And I would have never been able to provide any of that assistance like we did the other night. I would just not know. You know, it would be completely different. So anyway, I don't know where the hell I'm going with any of this other than, you know, take an inventory of your existence and your career path and ask yourself, you know, are you on the right path? Have you decided that this is the path you want to go? Because, man, before too long, you're going to get 10 years behind you and you won't realize it, but you'll have done some things that will kind of set you on a trajectory that you may not be able to reverse. Now, if you live in the United States, you have a lot of access to a lot of different opportunities that you may not have if you're in another country. And I realize that and recognize the struggle that if you don't live here, then yeah, you're going to have some barriers to entry. However, I truly believe anyone can change their lives if they so choose.
Yeah.
And I did it 5 years ago. Pickle, you did it 4 years ago.
Yes,
Brian,
sir.
You did it 3 years ago. It is. That's why I love this podcast. I love being on here with you guys because I'm able to watch in real time your development and see people doing the things that I think everyone should take seriously.
Whew. Man,
so there's that.
Is I just want to stew in that, like, that revelry of holy fuck, we not that we did it, but we're well on our way of, you know, really getting our goals and getting the things that we're working for.
I think the thing you should think about too is, and I need to be reminded of this, is that the destination really is the journey. Like, you're not ever going to get there, you know. There's some people that will look at you, Brian, and they'll go, one day I want to be where Brian is now.
Mm.
Right. And I would imagine your past self felt that way.
God right? damn. I have my fucking press up and running now. Like, can you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
Me in the little old shop, the first couple years I was making knives on a regular basis. Do you know, like, how much of a mind blow it'd be if I was able to tell that guy, hey, in just a couple years, you're going to have a full shop with just about everything you could need with a forging press. What? And an
exactly.
Apollo. What?
Right. And it's easy to forget this, right? Like, as you're living it and you're inside of it, I have to sometimes sit down and just look at all the tools around me and the things I've produced. And I have to remind myself, you did this. This is all a result of your hard work. This is all a result of your ideas. And you took the risk and you did it.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck is wrong with me that I'm not able to enjoy it in the moment, but I do take time to sit down and do a gratitude like inventory where I just go, you know what, man, this is freaking awesome. So, and I hope you guys do too. I hope you have time for that, you know, to take a minute and look at it and do it. So, and I don't mean to get so heavy. I don't know what the hell happened here, but I know that I have been feeling like I have not been fully transparent on this podcast and vulnerable on this podcast for a while. Like, I've kind of gotten into a rut, and I intend to make everyone super uncomfortable by sharing all of my emotions all the time. from this point forward.
From shitting yourself twice to your 100%. Son growing up to be a man.
That's it. We go, 1 minute we go from me shitting my pants to me crying about my son growing up. There you go. It's a fucking roller coaster. Buckle up.
Oh, fuck. Welcome to the shit show.
Trust me, it was a fucking shit show. That's it.
All right. So now that we're past shitting ourselves and watching our sons grow up, Pickle, what's going on in your workshop this week?
Try not to shit myself,
I guess.
No, I'm lugging away. I'm at orders. I put out a couple of some copper my bars as an order. That's something I don't do often. But yeah, I put those out. Those shipped out Monday. I got them out. That's about the only thing I did Monday because I was feeling under the weather as well. And I thought I was coming down with what Brian had, and I was afraid to shit myself. So yeah, I took the day off Monday pretty much after getting my things sorted out and shipped out. And yesterday I started on another batch of steel. I got three or four billets going in the forge later today. So a bunch of copper and Damascus stuff coming up. And back to orders, knives, stuff like that. I went to snowboarding on Sunday. It was a big snowstorm. I get all, you know, I let it come down a bit. Then I get, you know, I decide I'm going to close shop. I'm going to go snowboarding. I get there. I gear up. I hit the slope. I come down the slope. Beautiful run. Nice snow. Get to the bottom of the hill. Starts raining. So that was that for Sunday. So I was like, all right, well, at least I think I got one last run in for the season. They got that out of me. And other than that, that's been a pretty pretty chill week other than work and a little bit of snowboarding, a little bit of downtime.
I got a quick question for you, Pickle. Do you...
You talking to me?
Yeah, yeah. No, the other Pickle.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
I'm curious if, you know, you're doing the metal work, like making the billets, right? Do you, that process of making the billet, like it takes a lot of forward thinking. Like when I look at anybody that does this work, I'm fascinated by it because you have to kind of work backwards. You know, you have to kind of see what you want initially to create that. It's not just an accident, right? No, I mean, I get it. Some of it's accidental. Like there's little things that you couldn't predict, but like when I watch guys over at Baker Forge do the same thing, like Coy and those guys, like the understanding they must have of these patterns, it's just, and then also the metallurgy, it's just blows my mind.
Yeah, there's a lot to get down before you could say I'm doing this and getting it right. You know, like when I first did it, there's things I didn't know. Like right now, I'm actually, those two bars that I did to send out as an order are for this other maker here in Canada that's making a knife for one of my customers who actually bought my first copper my knife that I made. It was one of those little Tonto-ish thingies.
Oh, wow.
And when I made that billet, you know, I was in touch with Dennis Tyrell because, you know, he's good at what he does, and I like to reach out to Dennis when I need help. So I get everything welded together and drawn out. Everything comes out right, but there's things I didn't know then. Like, you know, keeping your core material as thick or thicker than your jacket materials. Because, you know, there's math to be done, and it's like the ratio of one, the rules of threes and all that shit. So it's like, I didn't know that at first, so I was able to learn that. And then once I learned that, and then I was able to clearly see the process. So, you know, even though when you start something and you're like, oh, fuck, what's going on? Why did it do this and that? It's not a problem because you're learning. And I'm kind of going sideways on this, I think. But what I think I was trying to say was I'm recreating this pattern of my first QMI, which was pretty cool. And I did recreate it. And so that's sent out to be redone by another maker, right? And that's just, I don't know. It's a good feeling. And I got people reaching out too since then.
And do you enjoy the process of just making the, I guess where I was going with my question was, is like, does it feel like you're stopping midway and then you're just selling the billet? Like, is that as Is that it? Like, do you enjoy that process, and do you feel like it's not complete, or is it complete? Like when you get done with it, and do you feel like it's something you would continue to do to like generate revenue? Because I know you're very focused on, you want to do and make things. You're not so much money focused as you are on like, I want to feel fulfilled in this process. And at the end of it, if I get to sell whatever I made, then great. But
yeah, exactly.
You know.
I just want to be busy is what it is. And okay. Like when I finish these billets that I sent out to Cam, like there's still a, how can I say, not necessarily antsy, but an excitement level coming from these two billets that I sent out to him, because he's using something that I recreated of the first time I did it for a customer of mine that digs my work and digs that steel. So it still has like, I'm anxious to see what Cam's going to do with these billets and like what he's going to make for Chris. Like it's not done yet. It's not finished. I sold them the billets. They're on their way. They'll be there Friday, and he's going to have to make the knives and finish that knife before it's finished for me.
I see. So you're kind of living vicariously at some point through him. Yes. Because he's going to make something with your steel, and that'll be, yes, an interesting feeling. I want to kind of circle back at some point and hear your reaction to what he makes with it, you know?
Cause I could, like, there's so much more steel that I've made since that first attempt at QMI that in my opinion was mind blowing. But this pattern here is what keeps on coming back. And like, and everybody, when Chris posts this knife, like it's the original, they call it the Danger Pickle. And it's like the original first QMI knife that I did. And like when he posts it in the knife groups, it just gets so much attention and everybody loves that steel and everybody wants one. And I've sold many of these just because of him, you know? Posting.
Now, you've heard me talk about how the market like decides certain things.
Yep.
You're experiencing that right now because people are seeing that, you know, like that one pattern that you make, and you're like, what's the deal with this one pattern? It's like the same thing that happened to me. It was like, what is the deal with this?
Dude,
the market decided, and you're going to run with it.
It's unpredictable. Same thing with, I'm sure you guys saw me drawing out over the past couple of weeks. I had 8 designs that I drew out. I put them out like separately, like 4 here and 4 there, and like let people give me input and all that. And I got a bunch of feedback on all 8 designs, and I went with 4 of what had gotten, well, actually 2 of were what had gotten the most feedback and 2 that had gotten the less feedback as my final designs. Right. So the 2 that got the most feedback, I got one of them still sitting on the bench. One of them moved. The 2 that got the least feedback are the first 2 to have moved. And that recurve Tonto, I got orders for 4 more after that.
Yeah.
And sold the Tonto.
It makes so much sense.
Yeah. That Tonto is one that gotten less attention. But the market decided that it's going to be the one everybody wants.
Man, so interesting. It's weird. It's so weird.
Blew my mind.
Blows
like
my
I'm
mind
about
too.
Ready to draw it on CAD and send it out to my guy to have some blanks cut, because I wouldn't mind having a dozen of them laying around ready to grind out.
I was going to suggest this exact thing. I think you should go into production with that. I really do. It's a great knife. In all honesty,
I did not think that was going to be the one. Like, seriously,
it's a great profile. I mean, yeah, it's just really beautiful.
And people jumped on it, and I was like, okay, great. So, you know, and I'm putting them out there at an affordable price point as well, too. Like, that's $375 Canadian shipped, for fuck's sakes. That's like $225 US. Like, and you're getting a custom knife.
Yeah.
That's a
great price point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cool. All right. Well, hey, so
$275, sorry.
$275. Yeah. So, Brian, what you got going on in your workshop this week?
The biggest thing that I'm most excited about is finally getting my press up and running.
Yes.
You know, this has been a giant like counter, like table weight in the middle of my shop, or paperweight in the middle of my shop for like 6 months since I bought it. And the thing that I've been stalling on is, you know, I want to make a YouTube video tearing it apart and building it back the way it's supposed to be, because it was made, you know, to be like a bending machine. And I saw, hey, there's hydraulic press. There's a lot of pressure there. I could probably modify that to work for me in the workshop. and it's just kind of just been this thing I've been dragging my feet on. And Chris Magnus over at Timber Tiger Forge hooked me up with some drawing dies and a way to, you know, basically the housing for the drawing dies that I can, you know, modify on. And man, it was one of those things where I finished gluing up some handles on one or a couple different knives. I had a couple knives in the rock tumbling. So my belt grinder is being used and I'm just sitting there. You know, it's noon. It's like a 60 degree day here in Michigan, which practically feels like summer. I feel like I still need to be out in the shop, but all of my different areas are being used. I can't really make progress on anything else. And I can't start a video because the rock tumbler is going. That would be awful. You know what? Screw it. I'm going to stop dragging my feet on this process and I'm just going to put my head down and work on it. So I just started modifying it, and over about 4 hours, I had it cut apart and built back up and welded together, and I had the flat dies working on it. So it was a really – it's one of those things where I've had the welder, and I've been able to, like, you know, metal glue stick things together, but I haven't really built a functioning tool out of something that I've welded together, you know what I mean? So – this is kind of like the first eye opening, like, oh shit, this is actually workable. This is something that I can do on a more regular basis to build even bigger and more badass things to help my workshop. But, yeah, it's just been, I got some steel hot. I used the flattening dies, and of course the steel was already flat, so it didn't move it a whole lot. So I'm freaking out like, oh shit, maybe this thing is way underpowered. This might be an issue. So, I had another day worth of work. And then on the third day, it was another 65 degree day. I'm like, screw it. I mean, let's make some drawing dies. So I got some, inch and a quarter, bar and a bunch of scrap steel that I cut off of the machine itself and fashioned those into some drawing dies, which, you know, it took some time and some figuring and, you know, kind of playing around with it. But over about another couple hours, I had drawing dies, and I took that same piece of steel and I was able to thin it out and double the length. And I mean, in just a couple heats too. I mean, I did a live stream after I finished that so that I could kind of show off, hey, look at what I did. And yeah, it seems to be super functional, and it's been something that I've been looking forward to, but dragging my feet on, because the whole idea of, oh, I'm going to make a YouTube video around it. And honestly, it was just time for me to, you know, set the YouTube aside and just make something happen, because it's lost potential if it's just sitting there, you know?
I think that I fall into that same category where I'll set a project aside because I'm like, oh, I'm going to make a video about this. And then like 6 months goes by and I'm like, I'm never going to do this. I just need to use this thing. So I'll rebuild it. But how satisfying is it when you get to a chance to like cut something off of a machine and then repurpose it?
Yeah.
I would think that's freaking great, right?
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. And like the whole story behind this press being, you know, somebody's grandfather built it out of scrap steel and, you know, just built it because they needed a bending machine for their farm. And it's been sitting in a corner for like 50 years or something. And then this guy just dropped it onto Facebook Marketplace for $500. How can you go wrong? You know,
it was a great purchase.
It was a fantastic purchase. And it feels like, hey, now I can actually be making some more intricate. I mean, I've hammered together some really rudimentary sandmies. I've never made a knife out of what I've made because, you know, it's just going to take forever and a whole lot of hammering. And I just don't have time for that right now. So I feel like this is going to allow me to do some things that I have not been able to do. And I'm so excited about it. But the other thing is now I'm on the beginning of another huge learning curve. So I'm excited to, yeah, I know. And I'm going to be leaning on you and a few other people pick, you know,
that's all good, man. It's all good.
So yeah, I've got drawing dies and I've got flattening dies, and I guess I can take on the world with that. Right.
Where are you getting your steel for all this new Damascus you're going to be making?
Oh, I think you know where I'm getting it. Maritime Knife Supply. best place in the world to be getting your handle materials, your mono steels. Oh, speaking of, I just finished up a couple knives with Curly Maple from Maritime Knife Supply. Holy goodness, is that the best Curly Maple I've ever worked with. Dyed, stabilized, beautiful, ready to go. I mean, if nothing else, go pick up a couple blocks of that just to get your hands, because it's super cheap. I mean, really reasonable and super pretty. So go check out maritimeknifesupply.ca. Go let them know that Work For It sent you.
One of the things I just bought from, sorry, Pickle. One of the things I just bought from Lawrence was some of his hex bar that he's got.
Yep.
1080, the 1080. I think it's 1080 or 1084.
It's straight up 1080, I believe.
1080. Okay. And I'm not doing anything with it that's knife related, but I've got a project that I want to make. Brent and I were dicking around with making these little cigar rests and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched back the video and I posted it on Instagram and it got like, I don't know, 60 some thousand views or whatever on Instagram. But people, I know, right? Woo. I had a couple reels going to the multi-millions again. So like,
so did I, Brian.
Crazy. So did I.
And must be nice.
I think what's happening here, we can go into a whole diatribe on Instagram later, but like, people are collaborating with me. And when I say collaborating, I only accept collaborations that are very relevant to what I'm doing. So, and I appreciate it if you're collaborating with me, but if you'd see something and it's not relevant to me, just know that if I'm not accepting it, it has nothing to do with you or anything. It's just that my page has to stay focused on Housemade. But, anyway, all these collaborations plus, you know, all the hammer work that Ryan's doing and all these things are fantastic. And thank you so much for everybody sharing your tooling and all that. Dude, you guys are like, you're the basis of my success. So just so you know, thank you. Thank you. But I pressed out some of this hex bar with Brent and I watched the video back and I was like, I wonder if we put the little, the swage, the 2-inch ball, you know, and pressed it down in and made like these little dishes. Mm. So I was like, okay, let's try that. So we did it and they came out great. And I put my little hot stamp on it and I shared it with a few people and they're like, I'd buy that for like $35. You know, and it's just a little piece of steel that's got my logo on it and it's pressed and it's still kind of got the hex shape because it's like if you can imagine, I put the hex in vertically. So I just pressed it flat to about a half inch and then I dished it out. That was it.
Are you making these for joints too or just cigars?
Well, that's just it. People are like, I'd use it for like a little ashtray or a little catch all tray or something. Okay. So I told Lawrence what I want to do. And he's restocking the hex bar, but I'm going to make a run of these little dishes and just, so if people want to support my work, they can go and buy these little dishes. They'll be so inexpensive. They'll go in an envelope, like a padded envelope, and I'll ship them to you. Nice. But it's going to be something like that because I just love the process. You know, I'm sitting there doing it and I'm like,
doing
something love this.
Exactly with your hands and you're creating something and people want it. There's interest. So it makes it a lot more interesting for yourself too, during the process of the projects. So like it fuels you to create more and come up with something else. Like there's always something different coming out, no matter what it is, because you have that need and that urgency to create.
Yes.
And that's not bad. You know, you're getting shit done. Maybe not all of these little projects are going to become a big project, but you never know until you get them done, right?
It's like you were saying, the market decides, right?
The market decides.
That people decide they like it, and then you're off and running and you're doing that for a while, right? So it's pretty, it's a pretty cool thing to be able to do that in real time, you know, too. So
real.
Share that real time.
As in unreal.
By the way, at some point, I would love to make some of these little dishes out of some Baker Forge and Tool steel. Oh, if you're not following along with what Coy and the boys are doing over in that workshop, make sure you go to bakerforge.com. Check out all of their social media from TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. They are literally crushing
it. Did you see the collab they're doing? Like they had, like Coy had talked about it last year when we were down in Florida and he showed us his EDC wallet.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, dude, he put up a post last week about them. Fuck, you gotta go check those out. Those go look are right now. Nice, dude. Yeah.
While you're looking those that up, killer. I also want to gush about the stainless steel core that they're doing.
Yes.
I saw he released that publicly. Now they're talking about it. So yeah, it's really
I'm working on a piece that my my Viking challenge knife is out of that steel. I got a prototype piece of that stuff, and oh boy. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. Make sure use WFI10 at checkout to get 10% off any billet at Baker Forge and Tool. And when you're ready to go etch that billet, make sure you use Gator Piss, my favorite piss on the planet, made by gators. Speaking of gators, did you guys see that there's a, no joke, there is a tiger loose in Texas right now running around?
I guess it's a hoax.
Oh, it's a hoax. Okay.
Yeah, that's what Neil was informing me of this morning, because that story's going around with three different ponds.
Oh, gotcha.
And okay. I looked it up on the news because I posted it on Facebook this morning. That's like one of the first things I saw. And I was like, oh, shit. Was it this morning or last night? I forget. Anyways. And he corrected me on that. And I was like, well, you know, it's possible because people do have exotic animals and it could happen. And it happened a few years ago. I think it was like 4 years ago or 5 years ago. They had a tiger roaming around Texas, like loosely. Somebody didn't lock up their tiger, I guess. I don't know.
This is an opportunity for somebody to start a company called Tiger Piss.
Yeah.
Etch it.
Yeah. So somebody took that opportunity once and called it Tiger Balm. So why not? Right?
It'd be kind of funny if somebody made a post like this about an alligator in Florida. Like, there's an alligator loose in Florida.
In the pond.
We're all over the place, by the way.
Yeah, right. There's armadillo.
And when you're ready to finish that knife.
These fucking ad reads today.
I'm starting a company called Armadillo Piss. That's my next one. Make sure you use pelican paste. Speaking of all the animals of all of the, I mean, we're all talking about all this shit, right? So pelican paste, my man Travis Haynes over at Bird Forge created this amazing. It's not like all the other waxes in the tins, right? There's a lot of people that are making these different waxes and stuff. Travis has taken it to the next level. He really has. And make sure you go check out pelicanpaste.com and use WFI10 to get 10% off. You can even get a subscription package like Ryan over at Gnome Hammer Forge has a subscription package where he just gets it delivered to his workshop once a month. I mean, come on. That's great. He'll even engrave your logo on his packaging for you so you can give little tins of this away to the people who are buying your products.
And he's always coming out with new products too. Like, he doesn't seem to want to stop. Like, he's got that pelican oil coming out now.
Yeah, man.
The pelican oil. He's taking pre-orders on that. Like, this kid's fucking moving.
It's only a matter of time until Travis creates pelican piss.
Yeah. No, definitely. There's going to be all kinds of piss out there. Yeah, we got pickle piss, pelican piss, tiger piss, armadillo piss, house piss.
Sarah just informed me that Joe Rogan has been talking about how this tiger thing is actually happening in Texas. There's a lot of very rich people that are moving to Texas, and they do have privately owned tigers. By the way, if you're one of these motherfuckers that buys a tiger and keeps it as a pet, you're a fucking moron. I'm just going to say it right now. Have you reached a level in your life where you're like, well, everything around me is completely boring. I feel like I really need a fucking feral cat that can kill me at any moment in my house. Like, figure something else out. Like, come on, man. This is what you choose to do with your money and your time, is buy a fucking tiger. And then, by the way, they get loose, like this one in this story, which we now know is a hoax. But I mean,
the one that did get loose in Texas was in 2001, and the tiger's name was India, and it was a 9-month-old Bengal tiger.
Aww.
Yeah,
9 months old. That thing's
loose. Yeah. And it actually died December 7th of 2023.
Oh, wow. So it lived a long life.
Passed away, yeah.
Well, anyways. Now that I've got my judgment out of the way for all these idiots that are doing this work, but
don't get a fucking tiger, okay? Who needs a fucking tiger?
Anyway? Who needs a tiger?
Here's something. Really? Here's something you guys should get. Not a tiger. Man, that router, man. That pickle, you've turned me on to a router, and I can tell you right now, that is an absolute freaking game changer for me with my handle shaping. Between leaning on you with the press and now leaning on you with the router, I'm going to be talking
lean
to you a lot.
Lean on me.
Lean on me.
The router, what's nice about it. What's nice about the router is it's the consistency that it allows you to have in your handle forms. And it gives you a good base for your profile too. So you could like just get everything to where you want it. And then you still have plenty room to play around with that handle profile and forming of it. So it's a pretty good technique, if you don't like mind saying, and it works. You just have to take your time with it and you could do something decent with it, right?
The and easy
like
symmetry,
anything else.
The ease to get ultra symmetrical handles is, I mean, that's it for me. Instead of sitting there and finessing it for half an hour, you take 5 minutes, run it through a router, and then just a little bit of touch ups here and there.
Voila.
The knife that I just finished up yesterday, like I maybe spent 5 minutes hand sanding. I had one little facet and then just once over everything. Oh, it's just so nice, dude.
I should do a series of reels like I did yesterday with my Damascus prep tips, but for handle prep tips with the router.
Yeah, you should.
So I did what 4 reels yesterday and they all did pretty good. And I got a lot of people liking, like the first one I did was, you know, how I clean up the edges of my bars to differentiate what steel is what.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're using 1/16 thick 1084 and 1/16 thick 15 and 20, once all that's cleaned up, it all looks the same, right? So, like, I took the 1084 and I grind the edges lengthwise. And then when the 15 and 10 and 20, I grind across the edge of the bar. So that leaves me grind pattern on my 15 and 20 that allows me to tell the difference from the 1084.
Hmm. Smart.
So, you know, and I started with that in the video and everybody's like, oh, that's so fucking good. And I posted it to a few groups on Facebook as well, too, because I'm out of Facebook jail now.
Hmm.
And so then that got a bunch of interest there. So I was like, let me do a few more videos today. So I did those. I did 4. And the last one was, you know, this is the best Damascus prep tip you could ever ask for. Get an Apollo Forge.
Yeah.
That was my final tip, you know, but they worked. So, that, you know, it's just like I was hearing Neil on the Work For It podcast live this morning saying how he's not good at content creation and all that shit. Like, I didn't put much effort into these reels yesterday. Really not much at all. You know, it's just a simple thought process going through my head. And I was like, I might as well just document this and put it out there and see what happens. And I did, and it did good.
Yeah.
And it's not just my regular knife putting it out there in my hand, moving it around and blah, blah, blah. It's a process, documentation, and people love it. And especially if you're giving out tips or it gives them a reason to interact with the post. Like I got so many, that's a great idea. Why didn't I think of that? Like those are all interactions. Like even though if it was said 50 times on the post,
you will hear repeatedly from people who make content to bring value to your content in whatever regard. And that is so important. It is.
Yeah, and I did that yesterday and it worked.
It's really difficult, by the way, to entertain people and use entertainment as the value component. So a lot of people are like, well, what's your value of this speaking reel of you making a coffee scoop? Well, it entertained people.
Speaking of entertainment, you see what Charlie's doing at Broken Anvil?
Yeah. I got that forwarded to me a couple of times and people are like, when are you going to do a housemade calendar? I'm like,
I know, like me and him were going back and forth yesterday in the DMs and I was like, you need to make a reel and see how far that reel could go.
Oh, yes.
Because the pictures are one thing, you know, we all find it funny, but we want to see analytics behind it. I want to see numbers. Like I want to see if that reel is going to hit more than any other one of his reels. And then I told him he needs to get a white skirt.
Yo,
commando
what?
Under a white Yo, skirt he's gonna what? Be com- listen
I know
to
exactly
this.
Where you're going
because
with this.
I've seen this so many times as a reel, these chicks standing in front of a fucking window with daylight going through that white skirt and all you see is meat curtains hanging there and they're just standing there and they get millions of views. So I was like, get a white skirt, stand at the grinder, put a fucking spotlight in front of you flashing through that skirt and let them balls hang in all glory and grind, throw some sparks. And I don't know if he's going to do it, but if he does it, I'm really debating on doing it.
Oh my
pickle?
God.
Pickle? God damn it. Oh, we need this. No.
No, no, we need this. This is the data we need.
No, it has to be done just to prove a point. And like Charlie, what he's doing is good because everybody's going through that fucking restricted thing again lately, you know? And so it's just, we're like, fuck you, Instagram, right in their face with this shit. And I think it has to be done. And it's funny and it's good entertainment. And it's good for him too because he's getting all these eyes on his tushy.
It's going to be like Arby's up in here.
Hold on. Yeah, so right? Pickle... Pickle doesn't like the way that he's being treated by Instagram. So let's just bare my dick and balls for everyone to see.
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, my
where's that? How does that add up?
Hey, this might be something Instagram wants. I don't know what they want anymore.
It'll get so much interaction, and it probably would go viral, and it would be a thing, and you would prove a point. I don't know what that point is, other than you know how stupid the algorithm is.
Wait a second.
Charlie
so it's
was
got
on
a
live
what?
Talking. Charlie was on a live talking about it, and after getting that fucking restricted thing not being showed to unfollowed accounts, he posted these two pictures and these two posts about this, you know, little risque things there, and he got a notification from Instagram congratulating him for, you know, the attention his posts are getting and this and that. So, like, he's showing his ass off on Instagram, and Instagram is congratulating him for getting good traction on this post. But they don't congratulate you for a post that gets a million views and you're making something, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, my favorite is like the knife makers who are blurring out the like the guy like cutting something like with their knives or something. Yeah. Like they're cutting a steak, but there's like a blur over the knife. Like, you know, that's hilarious. Yeah. Or another censoring guy. I think it was Bobby used AI over at Reaper. He used AI to create like a cartoon of a guy cutting an onion with a spoon. Like, is this what you want? Like, this is how people cut their food?
I'm gonna take an onion and try to cut a knife with it.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. So yeah,
listen,
anyway,
after what you said, Pickle, I don't want to know what you're gonna do with the onion on Instagram.
Oh my god.
I don't need to know.
I'm gonna make my one eye Willy cry.
Hey, whoa.
Whoa.
Yeesh.
E-break.
All right, you guys ready for the patron question of the week that we will answer in the after show?
No,
or
I am not.
Would you rather have a dad joke? You guys get to pick. Either or.
So we're not doing a WFI this week?
No, we're out of time. Look at the clock.
I had one up and fucking ready.
Okay, do one. How about that? I'll give you one.
All right, we're doing Brian Hunt and in Rose Forge. Okay. His Dark Mai from Baker Forge and Tool. That he he segmented a handle for it to follow the flow of the copper line.
Mm.
So he's got orange curly maple with black and I think orange liners in there that have a flow. And it's not just a line across, it's actually a curvy line going lengthwise across that handle. And it just looks so good. The etch on it, everything. And it's a beautiful knife. Posted it 7 days a week. That's 7 days a week. 7 days ago.
7 days ago.
I've got one. DL Knife Making Blacksmithing. Go check him out. He's currently at 374 followers. But he posted these coffee scoops. Super easy, super rudimentary coffee scoops. But man, oh man, are they just absolutely beautiful. You can see the craftsmanship he put into them. Got 8 coffee scoops when he posted them on March 1st. I'm a little bit late to this party, but yeah, they're looking really good. Go pick one up. Go check them out. Go give them a follow.
I'm going to shout out HT1 Metalworks. That's Henry Davis. Mm-hmm. He specializes in U.S. Navy trench art, where he casts different types of steels, or not steels, alloys, metals, into these fantastic shapes and then polishes them and does amazing work. And I'm sure he's listening to the podcast right now because he posts on WFI all the time. He's a supporter of my work. Thank you so much, Henry. And I received a package from him not maybe a few months ago, some metals and things I can melt down and continue my learning of the casting process. But he did a trident, which is the one I'm looking at right now. And it's just beautiful. It looks like it's aluminum bastard that was built up with polymer clay. Okay. So if you're not following HT1, that's spelled out HT and then the number one, Metalworks. Make sure you go do that. He's got, let's see, 9,221. Let's get him to 10,000 followers and learn a little bit about metal casting with Henry. So thanks, Henry, for your hard work. Appreciate you.
Very nice.
And, all right. Just a real quick funny. It's not necessarily a dad joke. I kind of made this up the other day because, like, you brought up dad jokes, but then the other day somebody was trying to dick me for a deal. And then I told them, not because I'm in the knife business, that I'm here to cut deals.
Mm.
Pun intended.
Hey, did you guys hear about the guy that got fired from the calendar factory?
What happened?
No.
He just took too many days off. It's not a good thing. Took too many days off. All right. The question of the week comes from Jeff Carey of Armor Up Blades and EDC. If you don't know Jeff, he's a member of the community. He's a very active member of our community. And he has an important question. And then it kind of follows what we were talking about earlier in the show. He says, have any of y'all had to deal with a fear of failure, insecurity, fear of risk, perfectionism caused by the fear of failure? And how did you deal with these fears? Fear like this can easily lock a person up if they don't know how to deal with it, especially for anyone wanting out of their normal 9-to-5. Especially for anyone wanting out of their normal 9-to-5, they hate wanting to go to, I'm sorry, my brain's
a 9-to-5 that they dislike.
That's it. Thank you. And they want to go full time. There's a ton of risk around all of this. Would you be interested in how I would be interested in how you all deal with this? And I think there's a ton of people in the community that probably struggle with such fears. And like I said, I feel dumb for even asking this question since I coach subordinates and students in dealing with such things. But when I screw up in the shop, I beat myself up for these mistakes. I let the fear of failure and risk keep me from taking the next step. How do you deal with this? So in the after show, if you're a patron, you can listen to all of us talk about fear of failure and what we do to get around it. And this is a common question that I think applies to just about any genre. I mean, this is a human problem, not just a maker problem, but we're going to kind of look at it from a maker's perspective, you know, and just talk about like, how do you get past it? I have a really good method for this, by the way, because I've dealt with a lot of this over the years. So I've got a good answer. And if you want to listen to the after show, you got to be a patron, $10.80 a year. Super easy. We've got a whole bunch of new patrons that I haven't really shouted out. Let me just do that right now.
With all that enthusiasm. Sure. Go ahead.
That's it. Okay. Let's do it. oh my God. All right.
You still half sick. Give him a break, dude. Come on now.
Oh my God. Okay. Greg Chaney, Miller Knifeworks, CJ Miller, Dwayne McDowell, Chuck Ogden, Blaine Havercourt, Patrick Cooney, Bald Man Knife and Tool. That's Brent Smith.
Yo, who's that guy?
Yeah. Yeah. He joined up. Yorick Van Hoof, Fegerland Bladesmith, Simple Little Knives, Joe Conley, John Ruff, Gregory Koontz, PCV Customs, which is Pat, Chris from Green Money Fab, and Morin Made Knives, it's Ben, and David Wood. Thank you for your patronage. Those are the last, I don't know, what, 10 or 15 dudes that signed up.
Nice.
And I appreciate you guys so much. And right now we are showing 213 paid members. That means your contemporaries, 213 of you, have decided to support our work and keep us going right here at Work for It. You guys ready to shut this show down and move on to the after show?
Let's do it, man.
We could just sit here and keep on going if you want. I don't mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to take action and move forward. That's what I'm going to do.
I was hoping you'd say something like that.
I'm going to leave you right behind, buddy. That's it. So thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to the Work For It podcast. I truly appreciate you guys. I hope you have a great working week ahead. Don't shit your pants. It's not fun. Or the bed.
Oh my God. Poor Sarah.